Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is Dave Ogren, who is one of the, shall we say, raconteurs responsible for an unusual and entertaining bit of sci-fi escapism that I think everybody could enjoy. Dave is the writer and one of the producers of the stage presentation Wild Women of Planet Wongo. Now, if that sounds familiar, every B-movie fan knows, kind of like, well, wait, that sounds like an old 60s movie. Yes, it is, but that's not where the play comes from. And the story behind that, I'm sure, will entertain all of us. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
Now, I will admit to being one of those people who saw the title of the play and go, oh, they made a play off the movie? What? And I have since been updated that, no, not quite.
Well, so, the genesis of it is I'm a composer. I write musicals and crazy comedies, and I always love things like, I mean, I'm a big fan of like Rocky Horror Picture Show and Little Shop of Horrors and shows like that, and also B-movie sci-fi B-movies and early Star Trek and that sort of thing. So a while back, I was trying to figure out a way to write a musical based on a movie. And I found out that there had been, actually, Reefer Madness had just been turned into a musical, and I was curious how they did that. Turned out that it was a public domain situation, that Reefer Madness, the copyright had expired, nobody had bothered to redo it. So I said, oh, that's interesting. So let me start to look for public domain movies. And I, amongst many really awful-sounding ones, Abbott and Costello movies and things like that, I found this movie called Wild Women of Wongo, which I looked at the description of the movie, and it was about monkey people on an island somewhere, and you know, it sounded just terrible. But I loved the title of the show. I mean, I loved the title of the movie, and it was public domain. So I got together with my good friend Ben Budick, who was a crazy storyteller, and also he and I had written a bunch of songs together. And I said, you know, I want to write a musical. And we were batting around over several drinks, a whole bunch of ideas, and I sort of threw at Ben. I said, what do you think about Wild Women of Wongo? And he said, no, it's Wild Women of Planet Wongo. And it's about two astronauts who land on a planet of women and they've never seen guys before. And they think they're in paradise, but everything goes totally wrong, but everything's totally cool at the end. And, you know, with about 3 minutes, he had like the entire plot of the show. And I said, oh man, that's perfect. Let's do that. And we had never written a play before. So we luckily were able to find through the Dramatists Guild, somebody who really knew what he was doing, Steve Mackus, who came on board. And we, applied for a workshop that was being done at the University of Michigan, and the students there wanted to put on an original show. We submitted it. It wasn't even finished at the time. They said, we love it, we'll do it, and that was the genesis of Wongo. That's how it became a play. We since had it in a number of other venues, but all this time it was a traditional musical in that you were sitting in the audience and watching it. Then about 3 or 4 years ago, I started doing immersive shows in New York City, which is where I live, Sleep No More being the most famous one, where you walk around, there's no stage, you're walking around and the actors are interacting with you. And I said, you know what, this could be Wongo. So I went back to my co-writers, we rejiggered the show so that it could work in a bar, and that it had no stage, that the actors run around the room, that we could literally create Wongo around you, and then we absorb you into Planet Wongo. And that's what we did. We did a sort of a workshop of it in Brooklyn in 2015, and then it was successful enough. It got reviewed by the New York Times and a bunch of things that I decided to produce it myself and take it into Manhattan. We've been playing at Parkside Lounge on the Lower East Side since September, and we are now booked through March the 17th, and I think we're going to actually go It looks like we're going to be going beyond that, maybe into June.
Wow.
So it plays every week. It's a live show. It is about a couple of astronauts who land on a planet women, but we serve Wongotini. You get a free Wongotini when you walk in the door. Wongotini are these evil green drinks that definitely get you out there on planet Wongo. We kind of absorb you into the show. You walk around, you dance with us, you interact with the actors. There are games, there's prizes. It's a very interactive show now. It's no longer anything to do with it being the situation where you sit in the audience and you watch it. And it's a lot of fun. And I've got it's amazing cast of New York actors who are able to transform the world of Wongo into your environment, into your personal space, and make you feel comfortable being there.
It sounds like a dinner theater with a bachelor party thrown together.
Yeah, well, it is a party. I mean, we definitely wrote the show. We reconceived the show to be an outer space party. I mean, there are songs and there's a dance you get to do. You get to do the Wongo Wooah. We teach it to you. There's an element of theater. There's an element of party. It's all outer space. The women are all 7 feet tall. It's pretty crazy. Now, everybody has a good time who comes to see Wongo.
It sounds completely just like a unique fun time. How do you transition a project like this from the stage to an interactive design? Do the actors have to rehearse differently, or the costumes set up differently? How does that transition happen?
Well, we first decided decisions we made was not to use sets because we didn't want anything sitting in the way. So we decided we would use the natural space, whatever it was, as the set. And we initially started with projectors. Well, I have an amazing animator who actually animated all of the backgrounds. And also some of the characters are animated. So there's also a level of that as well in the show. They actually have lines and speak and they're animated. So that was in an effort to try to keep it simple and small and have a lot of things on the wall so that there would be room for people to walk around. Once we decided to move into Manhattan, we changed the projector situation to be televisions. I've got a brilliant bunch of people working on to create the show, a great lighting designer and set designer and video designer, all those people who pulled the ideas together. Rob Dutille was able to figure out how to build these collapsible television monitors. They're stands that collapse, come up and down very easily with televisions and lights and sound all contained in one thing, with a giant computer brain in the corner that was designed by Ido Levron, and Lisa Huffnagel was my lighting designer. So the three of those people really figured out how to make the show simple, portable, and all on the wall so that there's nothing in the middle of the room other than the actors. The costumes really speak for themselves. They're pretty wild. If you check out our website, planetwongo.com, or our Facebook page, Wild Women Planet Wongo, you can see a lot of video and costumes and see what we do. And really, a lot of it is about the actors, about their interaction and their enthusiasm. We've really taken it away from being a traditional show and really made it about, I mean, sometimes there's like nine things happening at the same time, you know, depending on where you happen to be standing or sitting in the room, you'll be interacting with different people. You know, if you come to Wongo three or four times, you probably learn new things each time you come, because there would be something you didn't see the time before because it was in a corner. You didn't happen to be standing at that moment. And the audience stands. There's no seats.
Oh.
The audience stands. There's, along with the actors. I mean, there are some seats, you know, if you really, we do provide a few seats for people who really can't stand. But we basically expect you to, it's like a bar, that hang out in the bar and be part of it.
Wow, that sounds completely different, and it sounds like a sci-fi convention with music, because you've got the cosplayers wandering around you, getting you like just involved in the action that's going around you, and the story is typical sci-fi, you know, astronauts crash land on a distant planet where you don't have to worry about breathing the atmosphere, and oh look, it's all women.
Exactly. The astronauts, their mission, what they do is they are delivery men for cheesy moon crater chips. they wander the galaxy delivering cheesy moon crater chips to various distant planets, and they're really, really bored with their job. So, you know, when they finally land on this planet of women, and they haven't seen women in a couple of years, you know, it's like paradise, or at least they think so. But things are a little different from what they seem, but it all works out in the end. I don't want to give away too much of the plot, but there's some crazy stuff that happens, and everybody has a good time. But, you know, it's also about there's a queen of Wongo. She's very authoritative. There's a lot of authoritarian themes in this thing, too, about following rules and breaking rules, and women's empowerment, and the fact that it is a planet ruled by women, and that they're the ones who make all the decisions. So there's a lot of underlying themes in this thing. And we have, by the way, you mentioned cosplay. We have actually been noticed by some cosplay magazines and stuff. My initial idea was to hit Comic-Cons, which we've done in the New York area. We haven't ventured out beyond where we can drive, but we have hit about six Comic-Cons in the general New York, New Jersey, Long Island area over the last year and a half, and go there and in some cases perform, and other cases just interact with people there, trying to sign up people to be manslaves on Planet Wongo. If you come to the show, you can actually be a manslave on Planet Wongo. So,
well, that's awesome. Now, this show originally was slated to wrap up at the end of December, but you got extended through March, and now you're saying it might get extended again through June?
Yeah. It's looking that way. I'll have those details shortly. It'll be announced shortly, and those details will be on our website.
Now, is that based on just the audiences that are still coming to the show? That the Parkside Lounge is saying, "Wow, this is still popular. We can, you know, handle a few more shows." How does that work?
Yeah. Well, Parkside Lounge is actually quite small. I mean, it's the venue, the area in the back that we're in, you know, really comfortably. You probably could cram about 90 people in there, but you know, we have to have leave room for people to walk or to our actors to run around. So mm-hmm. we say 50 is a good number. You know, we sell somewhere between 50 and 60 tickets per night. So there's 8 million people in New York City. So, you know, mm-hmm. It's a lot of people.
That's a long run.
so there's a lot of opportunities, you know, and even if we only get, 1% of them, that's still a lot of people. So you know, and Wongo does have, it's a universal theme. You don't have to be a sci-fi geek to love it. You really just have to enjoy good times and comedy and want to be part of the party.
Yeah, anyone who likes like cabarets or musicals should have a good time at this from what you've described to us.
That's what we hope. I mean you have to be over 21 to enter the bar, but it's really for all ages, although I mean, you know, again, you have to be able to stand, and you know, there's certain elements, but we get people of all ages coming to see the show. It's really fairly universal that way.
Okay. Now, the performances are Friday and Saturday every other week. Is that correct?
Yeah, right now we're playing we're playing March the 3rd and the 4th, and then again March the 17th and the 18th. We play at 8 o'clock on Friday nights and 7:30, and a late show at 10 o'clock on Saturday nights. And that information and tickets is all on planetwongo.com. I don't know about the extension yet. It's still a little unclear, but we will be. We're actually trying to make it every week, so I don't know. We're still working out the details of what's possible, but that's hopefully going to happen.
Cool, excellent. Well,
but you can definitely see it March 3rd and 4th and 17th and 18th if you're in the New York area and would like to come.
Excellent. So everyone can go buy their tickets at www.planetwongo.com. You guys are on Facebook and Twitter too. I've retweeted a couple of funny tweets from Planet Wongo on Twitter.
That's great, thank you. And we have an Instagram account too. A lot of people post Instagram. As a matter of fact, if you're at the show and you do a hashtag Planet Wongo, we give away a prize every night.
Nice.
For the best ticket and for the best picture. And there's also, as I said, there's also game shows. We actually bring the audience into the show. Game shows where you get to beat up on men and make them your slaves. So it's all about women's empowerment, but it's all done with a sense of humor and, you know, good-hearted way. And I like to think that the music is catchy and a lot of people really walk out of there telling me that they can't get the songs out of their head. So
nice. And you wrote the lyrics and the music for the show.
I wrote the music and I co-wrote the lyrics with the two fellas I mentioned before, Ben Budick and Steve Magus.
Cool. Now, I have to ask, the Wongotini that everybody gets, what is in that?
Oh, they're evil. they're really good, actually. I don't want to really give away the secret ingredients, but there's nothing bad in there. It is vodka based, and they're good. But they glow and they're green and they're really cool. And you get a free one when you walk in the door, and they're only $6 after that. So they're really a good value. And you know, after two or three of those, you don't really want to go anywhere.
Because I was wondering, was the Wongotini inspired by that initial meeting where the idea came up from?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, I mentioned earlier that we did the show at the University of Michigan, and this was a number of years ago, before immersive theater was really, I think really before anybody heard of it. I mean, Tony and Tina's Wedding maybe was around at that time, but Tony and Tina's Wedding was a very different kind of show. When we did it at the University of Michigan, even that far back, people were showing up in outer space costumes in the audience. And it kind of made us realize that this was a potential Rocky Horror Picture Show type experience where people would, you know, talk back at us and try to dress like the characters. And so we've always had that in the back of our minds that that's what the show should eventually be. And once we decided to make it immersive and put it in a bar, it seemed obvious that we should have drinks that would serve on Wongo. So we do. We also have the Cheesy Moon Crater Chips. Those are also there too. We actually made them, and they're cute. And he actually uses them and eat them. And people eat them. We throw them around the room. You get some sometimes. Some lucky audience members get a couple of packages of them, and we have T-shirts and that sort of stuff. But you know, we try to incorporate as much as we can of the plot and the play into the audience experience so that people can feel like they're on Planet Wongo for 90 minutes.
Excellent. I do have one more question for you. You mentioned people not being able to get the songs out of their heads as they're leaving. That's a very Rocky Horror type of situation. Now, is the soundtrack for Wild Women of Planet Wongo available, or can people buy the songs anywhere?
We have one song. Yeah, there is a soundtrack. It isn't officially out there yet, but there is one song. It's kind of our hit song, available on Bandcamp. If you look us up, Wild Women of Planet Wongo on Bandcamp, you can download. You can hear and download the song Manhunt. We may put the whole album there. I'm not sure. That's actually been sort of in discussion. But we give that one away to everybody for free. As a matter of fact, everybody who buys the ticket automatically gets the link to that, so they can put that on their list of things to listen to when they're home.
Excellent, because funny musicals from a sci-fi influenced show, you can't really go wrong with that.
We hope so. That's the intention. I mean, Wongo would like to conquer the world, you know. I'd love to someday have a Wongo club and, you know, make it a whole giant Wongo thing, giant Wongo experience. But right now, it's perfect where it is. It's great. We're on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, which is a great area to be on, and especially in the weekends, a lot of traffic down there. We're right on Houston Street, so it's a major, you know, in thoroughfare, and easy to get to, and we have a lot of appreciative audience. So we would love to have some of your listeners be part of that.
Excellent. Well, we will definitely have links to where our New York residents and just people passing through New York who want something different to do on a weekend can get information about tickets to Planet Wongo. Thank you, Dave, for your time today and just the fun story behind this project.
No problem, Summer. It was great. Thank you very much for your time.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Hey, you. Stop hiding behind that sofa. Come out from back there. Your sofa wants to talk to you. Wants to play footsie with your mind. Listen to it. Relax. Let it in. Starship Sofa. The first podcast ever to win a Hugo Award. With weekly stories from the world's best authors. Michael Moorcock. Peter Watts. Joe Haldeman, Peter F. Hamilton, and many, many, many more. With news and reviews and interviews. Bradbury, Pohl, Wolfe, and Mieville, the sofas chewed the fat with them all. Facts and fictions, articles and particles. Oh, why aren't you listening? StarshipSofa.com. Your best science fictional fix this side of the coffee table.
This is Kevin Murphy from Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Rift Tracks, and you have bitten off a nice big chunk of Slice of Sci-Fi.
So, if you're in New York City next weekend, March 3rd and 4th, or March 17th and 18th, check out the Wild Women of Planet Wongo playing at the Parkside Lounge, which I'm told is in the East Village in New York City. The address is 317 East Houston Street, New York, New York. Details, of course, are on the Planet Wongo website. We have links to that. We also have a link to the free song that Dave mentioned. It's called Manhunt. It is available on their Bandcamp page. I've embedded it here on the website, sliceofsci-fi.com, and you can also download it from the link provided therein. So if you do go check out Wild Women of Planet Wongo and you're entertained by it, send in a review. And definitely let me know how the Wongo teenies are, like what they taste like. I'm curious how they make them glow, because glowing drinks also always fascinated me. It's like, if it's glowing, is it really safe to drink? And then you say, vodka. Vodka kills everything. We're good. But if you do go see it and want to weigh in with your commentary on the show, the number to call is 602-635-6976. Leave a voicemail message. I'm actually not sure what the voicemail message limit is, but hey, give it a shot. Let me know. We'll experiment. You can also email a review in. The email address to use is summer@sliceofscifi.com. Let us know what you think. We also have another interview coming up next week with Rob Rakicki, who's the other writer involved with bringing The Lightning Thief to the stage. I think you'll enjoy that too. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, and on Krypton Radio. If you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher, leave us a review, leave us a rating. Every little bit helps. Let people know you're enjoying the show and maybe they should check it out too. Check us out on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi. Check us out on Google Plus and YouTube. We're Slice of Sci-Fi there. And of course, the websites. Sliceofscifi.com, writersafterdark.com, popculturegeeks.com. And yeah, we have a new one coming along. As soon as I get music and some sort of schedule, it could be only once a month to start out with. Still working out the kinks. I'd like to thank everyone for their donations and their pledges. Every bit you guys pledge for support does go to keep everything online. The hosting of the websites, the hosting of the media for the shows. Thank you, and it is truly greatly appreciated. I'd like to send out my special thanks to the geek rock band Psy Fried for their musical contributions to the show. If you're interested in more music from those guys, check out their website, psy-fried.com. And yeah, they have a new album out this year, and as soon as it's ready and they're ready to talk about it, you know they're going to be here, so stay tuned for that. But that will do it for this episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.